This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, June 24th, 2018, the Solemnity of the Nativity of St. John the Baptist, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Constantly speak the truth, boldly rebuke vice, patiently suffer for the truth's sake. May the words of my mouth and meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. For those of you who are attentive to the readings, as you well should be, ministry of the word, where did that come from? I don't remember hearing that. Constantly speak truth, boldly rebuke vice, patiently suffer for the truth's sake. It wasn't in any of the lectionary readings. It was the prayer that you prayed before the altar of the living God today, a prayer after which you said, Amen, which means I believe or I will do. To constantly speak the truth, to boldly rebuke vice, patiently suffer for the truth's sake. We ask these things of our Lord, being able to do these because today is the solemnity of the Nativity of St. John the Baptist. And St. John the Baptist did these things. Our Lord Jesus Christ did these things. We are supposed to do these things. St. John Baptist was the precursor of our Lord. He came before him. Our Lord Jesus Christ came. John had pointed toward him. And then after our Lord Jesus Christ dies for us and ascends into heaven, then we are confronted with the fact that we, as John came before him, are those who come after him. As John had a responsibility to point to the Lord who was coming, we are supposed to point back, not only back to our Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, the only way to get to heaven, but to point forward to him who will be coming as our judge. That is what we are called to do. That is sharing the gospel. The gospel is not trying to make people feel good about themselves. As a matter of fact, guess what? Newsflash. That's the antithetical presentation of the gospel. St. John the Baptist started everything he said by, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Our Lord Jesus Christ changed not one word. Hey, don't worry about that repentance stuff. I'm all about grace. Don't worry about it anymore. He says, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And if you are fulfilling the commission that has been given you as a member of the body of Christ, you will look at people and say, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We are to constantly speak God's truth, boldly rebuke vice, and patiently suffer for the truth's sake, the truth of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those three things that we prayed today, you better be attentive toward them because you promised before God, you ask him to empower you to do it. Hey, please let me be able to do this. Whoa, no way, I'm not doing that. You better. Constantly speak the truth. The truth that we receive in the portion of the Mass, that ministry of the Word, it is a fulfillment of exactly what the prophet talks about in Isaiah. He has put his word in my mouth. Now, we can get all churchy about that and think all ethereal and abstract and go, oh, yeah, that was prophetic and, you know, some way God miracled some words in his. No. It's knowing what God says. That's the ministry of the word. When you come in here and you hear the readings, the word of the Lord, thanks be to God. The gospel of our Lord, praise be to thee, O Christ. He is putting his words in your mouth. He's not just speaking to you because he thinks you're cool. All right? He wants you to do something with it. Way back in the Old Testament, Isaiah, he's put his word in my mouth. He made my mouth like a sharp sword. Well, I don't want to hear about that Old Testament warrior stuff, swords and things like that. That's Old Testament. I like the new one. The new one that says in Hebrews, for instance, that the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword to the division of bone and marrow, soul and spirit. That is the word of God. You have received it, you know it, should, and you should use it to effect. That is what we are called to do. Everybody, I'm part of the body of Christ. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. So guess what? You're part of the body of Christ. Act like it. A part of the body is his mouth to constantly speak his truth. You are his ears to hear things that might not be in conformity with his word. To see things that might not be in conformity with. This is that constant speaking of the truth. You are required to do it. Jesus Christ is in heaven now, making intercession for you, preparing a place for you. If you do what he wants. And what he wants is for you to constantly speak his truth. John the Baptist did it. He did it to Herod. Hey, Herod, king, who's got absolutely sway over everything. I have no rights before you. You can do whatever you want with me. But hey, Herod, guess what, king? It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. I was pointing out today in the adult forum, if St. John Baptist lived in our day and age, he'd probably be rebuked by church authorities. Hey, you're not being pastoral. He would have thrown you in prison, cut your head off if you hadn't been nice to him. Nice doesn't have anything to do with the gospel. Aside from the fact that Jesus Christ is nice to us, aside from the fact that we're sinners, and that we have to conform ourselves to him, then the niceness applies. But before the niceness applies, we have to repent. Our Lord Jesus Christ used the word to great effect. His temptations, Satan, and your Protestant friends will love to do this, chapter and verse you on something, or you'll present some Catholic, you know, part of the Catholic faith. Chapter and verse me on that. Well, Satan chapter and verses people on things. Like Jesus, when Jesus is being tempted in the desert, Satan chapter and verses him on Psalm 90, 91 in the newer versions. Hey, climb up on the pinnacle, cast yourself down. The scriptures say that the angels won't let you dash your foot against a stone. Yeah, if you just chapter and verse, Jesus goes, oh yeah, that's what it says, I'll do it. Then he's acquiescing to Satan and he doesn't really know the word. That wouldn't be Jesus. Jesus looked at him and says, thou shalt not tempt the Lord your God. You got to know the whole thing. That's why it's imperative to understand God's word, both as he has taught us through the scriptures and through the traditions of his church since it has been established. And we can sit back and, who am I to say? That's exactly the question. You should never present God's truth as if it was yours. Hence my admonition that we never approach the word of God in any kind of discourse with anybody and say, I think, I believe. None of that. God says through scripture, God says through the traditions of his church, God says, not me. So the question is moot. Who am I to do it? You are part of his body. He expects you to do what he would do And he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You have to do this even if it causes division. All that talk about swords, Old Testament and New Testament, it's of absolute necessity. The gospel is confrontational. The gospel hurts, literally sometimes and figuratively. The gospel hurts because one of the primary hurts is not doing what we want to do, not believing what we want to believe, but conforming ourselves to what God says, to what He expects of us. This is the imperative. And you have to present it even if it causes division. One of the readings earlier in the week was, I've not come to bring peace, but a sword. I've come to bring division between a father and his son, a mother and her daughter, all these familial relationships. Oh, Jesus doesn't say things like that. Jesus, for all intents and purposes, hey, I come to wreck families. Because some are going to believe me and some won't. That's on them. That's what Jesus Christ says. That's his truth. That's the truth that we are constantly to speak. We are to boldly rebuke vice. We're really dropping the ball on this one. We don't rebuke vice anymore. Hey, I know you don't. It's obvious. Rebuke vice is nothing. The prayer was to boldly rebuke vice. To get up in people's faces and tell them, hey, you're not living in conformity with God's word. I mean, more conversational than that. But sometimes that even applies. Yeah. And you know what? Got to start in these four walls. There's a lot of vice going on in the Catholic Church now. It needs to be boldly rebuked to get things back on track. And things can be brought back on track. God has done it countless numbers of times throughout history when things looked, oh, they're so bad. He'll fix it. He'll fix it by his message and by his truth and by his body that is supposed to boldly rebuke vice. As I said, as Herod, John the Baptist said with Herod, our Lord Jesus Christ, the personification of mercy, he did it to the money changers. Boldly rebuke vice. I think forming a whip and driving people out of the temple, pretty bold, kicking over tables and stuff. I did something like that. I'd be called to task in Houston. He needs anger management. Jesus Christ boldly rebuked vice. He looked at religious leaders in his day. And who is Jesus Christ in his day as in his ministry? He's an itinerant rabbi. There's somebody who walks around talking about God. A lot of them running around. He looked at the Pharisees and Sadducees, the religious leaders of his day. It would be equal to us. One of the faithful walked up to a bishop or a cardinal somewhere. Pray God this can start happening. And look at it, do what Jesus did and say something like, you don't know the word of God, much less the power thereof, the Sadducees. Who's married to her in heaven? What? It's ridiculous. You ever read that thing that you talk about all the time, religious leader? We're supposed to boldly rebuke vice. Jesus didn't ever rebuke anyone. The women he caught in adultery. I love that. People use that as an example of Jesus like turning away from sin. He rebuked her vice. He said, I don't condemn you. I'm not going to stone you to death. I'm not going to tell them to do it. I'm not going to stone you. But he didn't just say, I don't condemn you. Go ahead. Go on your way. He said, I do not condemn you. Go. And sin no more. You are in sin. Don't do it again. Or guess what? I might not be around next time. And you will be stoned to death and you'll deserve it. My commentary. But that's what Jesus says. Go and sin no more. Us. I don't like to tell people that. It doesn't matter. I don't want to do that. Then stay home on Sundays. I mean it, because your soul's in danger if you don't do what Christ wants you to do as part of his body. He did not establish a social club where people could come in and shake hands with one another and slap backs. He formed a church where you come and you are nurtured in the faith and strengthened by the power of the Holy Spirit to do these things, to speak His truth, to boldly rebuke vice, and then to patiently suffer for the truth's sake. It can be frustrating to do these things. You can be laughed at, scoffed at. People can be belligerent. Family members can say they're never going to speak to you again, and they may not. So what, in the grand scheme of things? That is the priorities to which you have to orient yourself. It's about God and Him first, everything else is secondary. And the thing about God is to do what He says. And it can be frustrating. If you paid attention to that first reading today in Isaiah, you know, this is a guy who talks to people from God all the time. I mean, God gives him direct things to say, and he says it, and he says, I've labored in vain. He doesn't see any fruit from this. I talk to people all the time who have kids, adult kids, older adult kids, who've been out of the faith for years, and they keep trying, and they keep trying, and they keep trying. Grandparents who worry about their grandkids, and they keep trying, and they don't see anything. Let God do what God's going to do. It's not just a matter of stepping back and go, oh, okay, you know, whenever He does it, well, however He does it. Basically, your being patient with the way God does it is actually a benefit to you. Could you imagine what would happen if, for instance, you went out and invited something? You know, I invite, you know, two or three people to Mass every week, and they all show up and they bring friends. And then they become Catholics. In short order, you would think that you were all that in a bag of chips as far as God's concerned. We can't help it. We get spiritually prideful. That's why He's not going to work like that. You just do what I say, and I'll work in my time. He will not have you putting your human standards to gauge the effectiveness of the Holy Spirit, nor will He allow you to feel in any way, shape, or form as if you should be glorified over what you're. And we can't help that. We just cannot help it. It's the way we're made. Everybody loves what I say. Everybody I rebuke for that, I boldly rebuke them, and they say, oh, I'm sorry. I'm going to fix myself. You know, like I said, in short, we have this tendency to, look at that. I must be so great. God just loves me. He works through me. Then it becomes about you. He won't have it. So He wants us to suffer for the faith. As pointed out, Isaiah, John the Baptist, let's focus on him. It's his day. John the Baptist, he was Jesus Christ's cousin. I don't doubt that they hung out sometimes when they were younger. You know, he's intimately related with the Blessed Virgin Mary. I'm sure he's heard the stories around the house about the whole Annunciation thing and all this kind of stuff. Not to mention the fact that he baptized our Lord Jesus Christ. And as he was approaching, he said, behold, the Lamb of God, behold him that taketh away the sins of the world. And then he baptizes him in the Holy Spirit in the form of dove lands and stays on our Lord Jesus Christ. So John's got it all going on about his relationship with Jesus Christ. But when he's in prison and he knows that his head's going to be removed shortly, he sends a couple of his disciples and say, after all those things I just described, he goes, are you the one, or are we supposed to wait for another? Even John the Baptist was like, this ain't working out like I thought. I eat bugs and wear camel's hair. Well, I thought it was going to wind up better for me than this. That's our humanity. That's why we are supposed to patiently suffer for the truth's sake. It's not just for other people, it's for us also. We have to appreciate these things. You ask that God would allow you to be able to do it. You got to do it because that's the gospel. The gospel is a confrontation with people who have dropped the ball. Some of them are people of faith. They drop the ball if they ever had the ball, and you got to be the one who presents it to them. And it doesn't matter what their state in life may be. I will share something that was shared with me this morning. Some lay people confronted a priest with something here recently, and it was kind of tense when it happened. And subsequently, the priest came up to one of the people and said, you know what? You guys were right. That's what the Holy Spirit will do when vice is boldly rebuked. When you don't present it as, I think you did something wrong, but God's word says this. The church has always done this, and you didn't do it. Because there is no defense. You either say, I don't care, or you got to come back and go, I'm sorry. This is what the Holy Spirit will do. This stuff works if you present it properly. This is not syrup for the pancakes. This is not a social club. You are supposed to go out there and change people, and they don't like it. If you think back, like me, I didn't like dealing with the things that I liked out there and the things that were necessary for me to come back into the church. I didn't like it. But guess what? It's a whole lot better for me. I know that now. But initially, it's problematic. You are the one that are supposed to confront them with a problem. That's not just for bishops, priests, and deacons. It's for you. It is the gospel. It is not something new. In Isaiah, I have given thee to be a light. Thou mayest be my salvation. That thou may beest my salvation. You are the salvation of souls because you are part of the body of Christ. We just got to start doing it. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.